It's official. A world leader in soft drinks will not give up plastic bottles. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 22nd day of January. Thanks for being here. Yet another retail chain is closing stores. Did the FAA cut a sweet deal for Southwest Airlines? The fallout from 2 years of a trade war with China is still on the horizon. Vaccine stocks shot up today. Think again, China. We've got a market report and a report on a really tough place to grow up in the United States. For the interview, a conversation with a cannabis grower from Arizona who says it's the Wild West when it comes to what's going on. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Thank you, Hunter Pease. It's the Wednesday edition of the business news headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Thanks for being aboard again today. Well, it's official. Coca-Cola is not going to give up using plastic bottles. Why? It seems that consumers want them. Today at the World Economic Forum in Davos, B. Perez, Coca-Cola's Senior Vice President for Sustainability and Public Affairs, said the company won't ditch plastic because, well, you still want to use them. To be sure, Coca-Cola's long-term goal is to have all of its packaging made from at least 50% recycled material by 2030 and collect or recycle a bottle or can for every one it sells in that time frame. Yet, this decision will not make people happy. According to a 2019 report cited by the BBC, Coca-Cola was found to be the world's most polluting brand when it comes to plastic waste. The report was put together by Break Free from Plastic. Because of that, activists are calling for Coke to ditch plastics entirely rather than just commit to recycling them. Yet another retail chain is closing stores. Today we learned that fashion retailer Express plans to close 91 stores as part of what they're calling a fleet rationalization after a sales slump during the holidays. The move comes as a number of brands are doing store closures after the holiday shopping season. Bed Bath & Beyond is closing 60 locations, and Shurman Retail Group plans to close its Papyrus and American Greeting stores, totaling about 254 locations within the next 4 to 6 weeks. Express said a list of the locations was not immediately available. Express had 411 primary mall-based retail stores and 215 outlet stores as of a November 2nd public filing. A whistleblower says the FAA acted improperly in the way they authorized Southwest Airlines to begin flights between California and Hawaii last year. The preliminary conclusion by the Office of Special Counsel pertains to an FAA employee's allegations that agency managers gave the carrier preferential treatment by rushing the approval process and cutting corners in other ways. The council staff found a substantial likelihood of wrongdoing by FAA employees, according to one document, along with several documents and emails reviewed by the Wall Street Journal. The inquiry has not yet been made public. What's been the result on American businesses from the trade war with China? That's a good question, and the answer does not seem to be positive. 2 years of tit-for-tat tariffs and on-again, off-again trade talks have left American farmers reeling. The manufacturing sector is in a recession, although a relatively mild one, and factory employment declined in December after rising slowly for most of last year. And in recent months, there have been signs that the damage is spreading. Railroads and trucking companies have been cutting jobs, and consumers, at least in the parts of the country most affected by trade disputes, may be pulling back as well. Last week saw two major events. The first was the preliminary agreement between the United States and China, and the other was the ratification of the new U.S.-Mexico and Canada agreement. Experts said the agreements should help reinforce confidence among business leaders after months of trade-related uncertainty. But even if those deals hold, the ripple effects of the trade war could take time to dissipate. All of this could injure the economy, and in some places, it already has. The spillover effects are clearest in the transportation sector, where business slowed for railroads and trucking companies as trade slumped last year. More than 10,000 jobs were cut by transportation and warehouse employers in December. That's the biggest drop in nearly 4 years. Add to that the fact that job growth has also slowed. And while Wall Street might be having a great run, Main Street is still reeling. Stay tuned. Well, new concerns over the coronavirus that has now been imported to the United States from China has some small vaccine makers using the news to raise money. Norovax in 2013 developed a vaccine for Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, which is also a coronavirus. Yesterday, after the market closed, the company filed a shelf registration seeking to raise more than $100 million over time. A spokesperson said that Novavax also plans to develop a vaccine for this particular virus. But the company's stock fell by 15% in early trading today on concerns about dilution. Nanoviruseeds said that it has raised $7.5 million in an offering of 2.5 million shares at a price of $3 a share. The stock was down 55% in morning trading, however, after gaining 153% on Monday. Speaking of stocks, today's stocks ended a volatile session along the flat line, despite strong gains from IBM that lifted the technology sector. The Dow lost 9 points to close at 29,186. Earlier in the day, it was up by more than 120 points. The S&P 500 eked out a small gain and closed at 3,321. The NASDAQ notched an intraday all-time high before coming back down, but did advance by 0.1% to close at 93.83. IBM shares climbed by 3% on the back of quarterly numbers that beat analyst expectations. So far, more than 10% of S&P 500 companies have posted their latest quarterly results. Of those companies, 75 have posted better than forecast earnings. And finally, there is this. Nearly 10 million American kids live in low-opportunity neighborhoods with limited access to good schools, parks, and healthy food. So why does that matter? Well, the neighborhoods in which children grow up affect how long they'll likely live, how healthy they'll be, how much money they'll make. In other words, their future prospects are severely limited if they don't come from a better neighborhood. All of that from a new study from Brandeis University. The research takes into consideration things like home ownership, pollution levels, and poverty rates, among others, to identify these areas in the United States. And the study found that Bakersfield, California, had the lowest score, while Madison, Wisconsin, had the highest. Fascinating data about disparities and opportunity for kids in different cities and within different areas of cities. Your zip code should not dictate your opportunity. It's not the American dream if only available to some Americans, right? His name is John Haas, and he is a cannabis grower in Arizona. I met up with John during my trip to Phoenix last week. What he has to say about the world of medical marijuana, CBD, and the lack of direction should scare the hell out of you. That story is coming up next.